Thank you, Jayvarshan. Artificial intelligence on it, and despite apart from the system problems, there's also problems in respect of ultimately reacting to offenders who have been tagged who does not comply. So I want to know, first of all, since the rollout of this system, how many of those who have been tagged have been offended? Then in terms of the de-tagging, also what number has been de-tagged because of re-offending and then hopefully being sent back to correctional centers. Chair, in respect of the low caseload, I see there on page 29 that the department says the course should consider placing more persons on MS. So the question then begs, what interaction, if any, has been affected by the department with, for example, the Efficiency Enhancement Committee chaired by the Office of the Chief Justice or the judge's president in the different high courts, or the magistracy, because just to state that courts should consider placing more persons on EMS won't in itself work towards a solution. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Bongo.
Yes, thank you very much, Chair. I think that we welcome the presentation. It's a good set of presentation, because when I conceptualize the presentation, it actually addresses the concern of the committee around the issue of us having to have community corrections more, or prioritizing community corrections more than incarceration. I think what you may need to assist us with generally is because from where I'm sitting, I think the disagreements on contract basis with the service providers when we're piloting this thing created some problems, which I think that's where we need to deal with it at that point. Because once we deal with those disagreements, we will be able to deal with the issues that are raising of the server. How does this thing get back to the department as opposed to being operated by a service provider on a full-time basis? But I see you say that the SIU has had some problems. Let us refer to SIU. So you may have to, because SIU is also a component of this committee. So you may have to elevate down issues and tell us, hey, these are the problems with SIU, so that if some of the things arise from there, we're able to check and intervene in terms of what is exactly happening. But I think this process is a very good one. I think it gives more advantages than disadvantages. Actually, those that you say are disadvantages are actually advantages to the process. So what we really need to do now is to tighten all the loose. But what I'm seeing here, in terms of your projection, I don't know why to project that on page 21. You still say, you raise an issue of funding, that's a very serious issue. And you are saying your budget committee department is allocated 72 million. But in terms of the outer years now, you still say 28, 29, and so on. Then that is the problem. Because we need to get a clear projection of exactly how much would this cost. From where I'm sitting, this will answer a lot of the questions that we're worried about the portfolio account, because our concern has always been that we spend more money on incarceration as opposed to community corrections. So I see on page 29 you refer to that the courts must consider placing persons on MS. I think I want to know what is exactly the role of the courts in this regard, because how to integrate this in terms of the court needing to refer. Because my view was, after you're sitting, categorize the offenders to yourself that you say, no, this one deserves to be here. Because that will answer a lot of other questions that have been raised, won't it? If this one decided to default and so on. So a person gets into this program, but the person has already been assessed in terms of the threshold, the particular threshold that he or she needs to get into the program of being tagged. Because if you can tag just randomly tagging, maybe tagging even those that the learner judge, baseline one judge may set, there are people who deserve a direct imprisonment in the main. So I think those are the issues. But all in all, the chair, I think this process answers a lot of our questions, and if we put more oversight on this and tighten the screws, those screws, we'll be able to achieve what we want to achieve in terms of community confidence as a priority. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Bongo. I think the services indeed required are checking and checking services. The only thing is the road to achievement of this is what we need to actually clear. The one question I'll ask is, what happened to your old tracking system? And previously when you were here, we actually emphasized skills transfer because the end-up training system just seems to become redundant when the operator leaves the office. So if you can indicate as to what happened to the old one, they actually had to address the issue of sustainability. If we don't add anything that's sustainable, it becomes a waste of time and money. For 20 years down the line, we still are talking about several dilemma banking. It's unacceptable. And we are trying by all means to move away from using consultants. So we are going out to go and borrow out equipment to run a huge department like this. That in itself is not acceptable. And I'm actually saying the prerequisite to rolling out the system requires the department to receive. How do you approve on the system that is not, that the department is not ready to roll out? Because in that sense, it means that the department is not really ready. As you do due diligence, so that when you roll out, tomorrow you're not going to be told that this and that has become a problem, almost like an unforeseen problem. So it's got to be due diligence so that as we embark on this project, we are sure that the project is going to be working. I like the idea of moving from 70,000 to 1%. It's always best when you introduce systems to start at a lower scale. And then you can see over time whether this is working or not. And it's not really going to end up being something that does actually require huge sums of money. And it's failing, then you actually waste a lot of money. So coming down, coming down to 1,000, for me, it actually makes sense, especially because of the fact that you're actually embarking on the new system. I don't know whether these items, equipment, are they water resistant? I'm looking at your durability. They are water resistant. Okay, so it's something that you can, are they reusable? So that you shouldn't keep on buying it on the loads of things that actually then actually add up to a lot of money. I love your midterm review because you really have improved a number of areas as a department. When you get a percentage of overcrowding, you've actually managed to reduce that, which is directly connected to the system. So if we actually have to implement means, we will basically reduce overcrowding. The percentage of offenders participating in social development has gone up. A percentage of inmates on antiretroviral therapy, percentage of paralysis without violation, that is very good. Percentage of prisoners without violation, it's actually encouraging. And CFO, we are hoping that this occupation is also going to be helping in the same way when it comes to finances, because we promise each other the next audit will be an unqualified audit. That's what we are seriously looking at. What I would like to know in terms of the money that you require.
Madam Chair, are you perhaps dealing with the second quarter preliminary performance report?
it's a question that's going to be coming out of adjusted estimates of special expenditure.
So I don't think they've been presented.
Excuse me?
I said I thought they hadn't been presented.
It has been presented. And we're going back to it.
Right.
In the background of this that we're doing today, which is the clarity that I'm going to be requiring from the commissioner, to say that what I would like to know in terms of the money that you require, because when you look at the adjusted estimates of national expenditure, you should get about 810 million. If you can just clarify as to how we have used that 810 million, then shift that, and maybe the amount of money that we actually shifted were coming from compensation of employees because of the vacant positions that we've got. What is the money being shifted to? So if you can be in the position to look at it in the context of what we're discussing now. Honorable Kumla?
Yes. I apologize for getting this asking. I just want to find out still on the question of interference. There is a saying that a wise criminal is the one who runs faster than the police. He is somebody who uses electronic devices and when you switch off you lock your car and the criminal comes in and blocks and then calling before the car is locked. And as soon as you leave, he opens the car, not locked, and takes everything up and go. This is what has happened in that room. That one. How is this thing free of interference? And also on the question of waves. Railways, how does it work? Does it work like a SIM card? You have a SIM card. How does it work? Do you rely on the railways? How do you make sure the distance is from Pretoria really to the other part of the country? How do you do it? So if you could ensure that I cannot make you hide this device with me. I'm a criminal, I want to do this thing, I want to make sure that I hide my activities from you. What are the chances that this can or is it only a
loss? Thank you. Thank you, Honorable. Can you get a response from the president?
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson and members of the committee. There are a number of questions that would be necessary for us to provide detailed responses as it needs more information. What I would like to say is the following, Chairperson, and I do hope that I will be relevant to the questions that have been asked by members of Parliament. The Department has decided to have a system of electronic monitoring. And had then, as we had informed the committee, started the pilot, which came to an end at during last year. And we then have embarked on a rollout of electronic monitoring as a system that has now been approved by the department, so as to address some of the challenges that we have. Now, I'm saying this because it is important that we clarify our situation and position as to electronic monitoring. It can assist us in reducing the levels of overcrowding. It can also assist us in placing those of our offenders who are coming for the first time who have not committed serious crimes in the system of common corrections. Now, it is always important, Chairperson, that one explains imprisonment and community corrections. The department some time ago decided that we are going to operate two systems. The one system is of incarceration and the other system is of community correction. In other words, both offenders in incarceration and community correction still remains the responsibility of correctional services up until they have served the entirety of their sentences. And therefore, those that are placed in community corrections, if they're there on conditions that, for instance, they are not going to reoffend for the period of their parole or probation and so on. Now, when we took that decision, the president and honorable members, we did not invest into this new system called community corrections. And that is why we find that we're still struggling to ensure that this community corrections comes to age and it is then updated in terms of infrastructure, in terms of resources as well. It is only now, Chairperson, that we have embarked on a process of establishing what are the needs of community corrections in terms of resources, but also in terms of officer accommodation. And that's why whenever we report to committee, we would also indicate how far are we with our extension in providing more officers and taking community corrections to communities. That is important that we should inform the committee about. But also, what then has happened during the pilot phase, it was a project that was registered in the JCDF Development Committee by correctional officers. And as a result of that, when we went for a study tour, we were accompanied by members of South African Police and Justice who also have an interest in this entire system. And therefore, it's a system that has been communicated in the cluster. Now, why we would like magistrates and as well as judges to utilize the system is it can also be utilized as direct sentencing to taking of electronic monitoring as opposed to sending a person first to prison and then thereafter after some time this person can then be put on electronic monitoring. I don't necessarily that I should provide that background so that members of parliament should understand how we are trying to move from incarceration towards community corrections. But what is also important, Chairperson and members of the committee, is that when we incarcerate a person, it doesn't matter what kind of person he is. We ensure that that person, firstly, has to undergo a system of an assessment where we assess this person what that would be the need. Now, starting from entrance up until this person exits a prison, there are officials who, as part of their work, is to provide security, but also as part of their work is to do orientation of offenders and also assist in their rehabilitation. Now, what we have not done as a department, which we did before, but which we are looking at as part of this transformation change, is to exactly see how many hours that officials in a correctional facility spend on security, but also spend on rehabilitation, because the very same officials are being utilized also to present programs for offenders. And that is why the skewedness in our budget programs. And that we will come back to the committee. So let's share with the committee what we think needs to be done so that we are then able to indicate that security officials are not just there standing and guarding offenders. Some of the programs they are physically involved in by taking offenders to these different programs of correction. And I think that would assist for us to then understand the budget allocations as we have them in the Department of Correctional Services. Maybe just to sum up and give opportunity to CDC Matibela and other colleagues that are here an opportunity. It is going to be important that maybe with the advice and recommendation of Minister Masuta to come to the committee with the entire electronic monitoring project that has now been referred to the SIU and indicate these are the challenges and these Minister has decided that it needs then to be investigated further because just with the awarding of the contract itself as well as with regard to some issues like your server which we need also to come open and clear to the committee about what was the matter and why then did the award take place if there was no address of what was put in our terms of reference. So it's a matter that Chairperson and members that I would like to request that we be given that opportunity and to come back again and explain clearly what have been the experience and challenges that we have encountered with this project. We, however, because it has not been finalized, that investigation, have to carry on with the electronic monitoring system because on its own, chairperson and members, it's a very good system that can bring a lot of relief to our overcrowded facilities, but also not only with overcrowding, but also to look at the successful reintegration of some of our offenders that we think did not come in due time in prison, if I have to put it that way, that they can be directed from court, be sentenced to probation under a system of electronic monitoring. Chairperson, I'd like to end there and request the CDC as well as other colleagues to respond to the questions that members of parliament have put to us, and those that we are not able now to provide written response. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Commissioner. Can you get this CDC material to respond?
Thank you, Chairperson. I would request that I respond to the question that is before us, like that's the last, and go to the third. Chairperson, you did ask whether the system, the device itself, is water resistant and is reusable. Yes, it is water resistant and it is reusable. Hence, when we detect, we use the same tech to take other offenders, but it must be determined if it's still in the right condition to detect others. National Commissioner has already spoken to the role of the courts, to the question of what is the role of the courts in the utilization of EM. The courts do refer to our system with an electronic device as a coalition. We also have awaiting fire persons under EM, people who would not be able, for example, to pay bail and who have flight risk, wherefore waiting for people under the system of electronic monitoring. And as already stated, the courts can also use electronic monitoring as a condition of delegating people as probationers instead of sending people to our correctional facilities for 3 months, 8 months, and even people who are not able to pay the fine, then they can give electronic monitoring so that people don't go to our facilities when they can go straight to the system of community correction. There were questions on how does the system work. My colleague, Damien Sentry, who is the director of supervision, who is actually the project leader and manager of the electronic monitoring system, will explain to us how the actual system works. But there was a question on the why do we say the low battery or not charge the battery in the violation. There is a backup to electricity. So we have solar chargers which are given especially to people in the rural areas where there's no source of electricity. So when we do have a backup battery, a backup system to charge the battery, which is a solar system. There was a question on the buy-in of communities and other stakeholders, including families. Before we rolled out, we did a stakeholder consultation where we were telling people about electronic monitoring and how it works. But that was only when we were rolling out. And we also had change management programs which we did to members who are going to be utilizing, to offenders and to their families. So families of who are electronically tagged, they understand the system because they are also supposed to be assisting us in the supervision of those offenders. The central control room, though my colleague is going to talk more about it, the central control room is the one that monitors the movement of the offenders, and if the offender is beginning to tamper or to violate, a message is sent on the system that stop what you're doing, you know. And if the offender does not stop what the offender is doing, which is bordering on violation or is a violation, then it is escalated to the municipal official to say, go and check offender so-and-so, who is tampering with the system. There was a question by Honorable Self, does this tracking, do we monitor at all times? Yes, Honorable Member. We do monitor at all times because we had, in our system, the first awaiting trial person who was on our system is one person who liked, that is a way of example, who liked to test the system. This offer, this ATD was not supposed to go to, was an exit, was not supposed to go near airports and near borders, but he kept on going to those places. But before he could get to the border or to airports, the system will tell us that he is going to end Bushin Zoo. He has long left there in Bushin Zoo. The outing of the tender, National Commissioner has responded to that, but there was a specific question as to where was to whom was extended. It was not extended even once, it was extended by the process. But the cost related to that is documented. We request that Jefferson we come back and provide that information in the written form because we have details in terms of how many times was extended and how much does the pilot and installation cost. Yes, we did as a department talk about the cost of incarceration, and we know that the cost saved on incarceration can be utilized for community conscious, but it's just about us how do we do those allocations, and sometimes it's not automated. It's something that our finance and treasury have to work on once the savings are clear. So it's something that the department is still working on. In terms of competition in terms of the service providers, I must hasten to say that the same service provider who piloted, the extensions were made to that provider, and that provider was the successful bidder for the rollout. But it's really clear when we give that whole background inviting. Let me, through your chair, allow my colleague to really talk about how this is going.
Good morning, honorable members. I think it's important before we can actually let's count this whole system of electronic monitoring functions, it's important first to get called coordinates. Once you get coordinates, you coordinate, you are able, let's say you go to where the person is sent, you create coordinates, get four coordinates in that space, then meaning a person for a certain duration would have been restricted from moving out of an area where he's staying. For example, if they're at home, then within specific time, the person would then be expected to be at home. If it's at work also, it's important that you will also be creating a specific place where the person is supposed to be. But also, with coordinates, where the person is also supposed to be restricted from entering. For example, a person is not allowed to enter any bar, to approach any tavern, for example, or a place where children are. It is also important that as he approaches, then what would happen under normal circumstances, it will trigger an alarm. Triggering an alarm, alerting details to say somebody is violating his condition. So it is also upon the control room coordinator who then engage this particular person that you are now violating your condition. But failure to do so, then we'll then dispatch a response team to go and investigate exactly what is happening in terms of what is the problem, what is the actual problem. But another important issue that we need to take into consideration is the fact that there's supposed to be scheduled. For example, conditions might say every Tuesday a person is supposed to run a community service at a particular institution. It is important that part of that schedule, if that person, let's say, from 8 o'clock until 4 o'clock, is supposed to be in the particular institution, rather than commit offense. If it's at home, it would as well be an alarm because it's at a place where it's not supposed to be. So I think that very important. Now, the three things I have mentioned, actually, that is exactly how the electronic monitoring system operates, because without this three, you will not be able actually to monitor a person. So the system will then allow us 24/7, 365 days, but able to know exactly where an offender is. There was also an issue that was raised in terms of alibi. For example, if a crime is committed at a specific place, then the system will be able to pinpoint the location of that particular person at that point in time to say, when this crime was committed, you were there. So that is the evidence that also can be brought before the court.
Just to conclude on the questions that they asked, there was a question on the offenders were detained if they did not re-offend and their number if they were. Yes, the tagging is done for various reasons, but we have not yet broken down. Currently, we, as at 11 of October, we were at 722 of people have been detained. We request that we can give that information in detail, where we give a spreadsheet of what were the reasons for taking. In terms of the High Court and magistrates, we have made the presentation to the Basta as a department on the option of electronic monitoring, but more work still needs to be done in that regard, so that we can have more buy-in as court and magistrates are concerned. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Memagel. There's still a question about the money that was shifted, which I think the CEO can actually just give a light as to where they shifted to the money from the program.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. On the presentation that we provided for finance, we projected that because of the vacancies, there will be 849 million. That won't be spent under compensation. And in terms of economic classification, 557 million were taken to goods and services, 279 million were taken to machinery and equipment, biological assets, which was just about 540,000, and software and other intangible assets, there were 12 million on IT software. But the breakdown in terms of her program, what specific things we funded. We provided slide 20 up until slide 20. And maybe, for instance, the subject of EM, we shifted funds to fund the balance of the year, 43 million. But let me just give you what the program, how much was shifted. For instance, if you take the breakdown of the 849 on program one, that was, of the 849 million, that was 391 million of compensation of employees, which was shifted for two goods and services within that program, on intake of new recruits in colleges, which were announced by the minister in the budget, which it was not budgeted for because in the budgeting process, and the increased provision of fuels, materials, and supplies, which amounted to 149. Then our fleet also, the department never budgeted, had an asset replacement plan for the fleet to the extent that it has never been budgeted for upfront. We've always used violence. And 206 million was shifted towards a fleet, aging fleet, which amounts to around 900 vehicles, these vans, these different types of fleet for the entire region, all the regions, which is an aging fleet. The software I referred to. Then on program two, 139 million of the 849 compensation of employees was taken for to program two goods and services under municipal charges, amounting to the same amount of 139, because we haven't been having our increases in terms of rates and water and electricity is far higher than what we have been provided as inflationary adjustment under the item from Treasury. Then the
The next one, because under rehabilitation, we did not move, we just shifted money within the program. We didn't take away from the rehabilitation. We took out 92 million from competitive employees because of vacancies, was taken to animal feed for agriculture, which amounts to 40 million. Machinery and equipment under agricultural and production shops, which are used for farm prisons as well as skills and development, of which amount to 51 million. And the biological assets, it was mainly the bulls for production purposes of 514,000. Under program 4, we shifted 182 million from compensation of employees to fund nutritional services, which is the outsourced nutritional services. In this same program, we also had a problem with a boiler which was breaking in 2 minutes in the area, that is Kronpent and Bilamakati. So that also has pressed us on the budget itself because we have to absorb that component. On program 5, which is the program social reintegration for where electronic monitoring resides, we shifted within the program and the bulk of it, 43 million, went to this project to fund it for the balance of the year. Thank you, Chairperson. That's how we shifted funds. And I think in this time around, we try to, because there's always questions about where money has been shifted from and towards which items. We've provided a detailed list per program to indicate the shifts within the current budget. Thank you.
Okay, maybe just one question is, every time you are doing these adjustments, you didn't consider this, or you did not have information on this yet?
The information in respect of electronic monitoring?
Yes.
We had, which is why we adjusted and provided.
It's already included in the 849 adjustments.
Yes, yes, okay.
Chairperson, thank you. Chair, I just need to add to my colleague, Mr. Kibela, in terms of the questions asked, because there's a certain part that falls under my area of responsibility. Chair, I think it was asked by Mr. Self, Mr. Kuruani, as well as Mr. Horn and Mr. Bunga, but I'll combine the response for those questions. Here, I think what is important from the presentation that we need to have in the back of our minds is the fact that currently, except for the four cursors that has been sent by the course who are Imani trainees, those people who attend currently, it is an additional condition for parole. What we are working currently as a department on is we have a task team that is looking into the possibility to promote this electronic monitoring to be an alternative for incarceration. There's the departmental task team is in a very advanced stage. They completed the basic work, and there's now an interdepartmental task team that are looking on the possibility to look at the short-term offenders, meaning those who are serving 24 months and less, and not to preempt their final recommendations. But we can foresee that category, as the National Commission indicated, that the courts can sentence people directly to probation and electronic monitoring, but we're also looking at a way that if those people are then sent to our correctional facilities, that we have a way, as we are approving our parole, that we are moving in the direction to then divert those people from a correctional facility as soon as after we have assessed them, to place them under electronic monitoring, not as a parole condition, but as an alternative. And I think that was the question asked by Mr. Self, the one, you empty the one and put it into the other. Now, if you are doing that, then there will be more savings, which can then almost feed the system on itself. But that is still early stages, Chairperson and honorable members. As the lessons that we have learned from the current system, the pilot as well as the current system, will assist the department to make sure that there is more confidence in the system by the magistrate and the judiciary. As Ms. Matibela was indicating, this was presented to them. The task team also is currently part of briefings to the magistrate. We also arranged with the Justice College that we have in future a slot during the training where we will present our role, and this is part of that. There was a question, Chairperson, in terms of whether this is in raised with the National Efficiency Enhancement Committee chaired by the Chief Justice. I can confirm that we are part of that meeting. The department has registered the matter of parole, which includes also electronic monitoring, and we already did a presentation to the subcommittee, which will eventually then serve before the Chief Justice, where he's chairing that. Chair, I think if this project is finalized, one is foreseeing that there will also be legislative amendments, and for current which can just as the portfolio committee note that we will eventually approach this committee also with some amendments to make it possible that we can also divert those who are sentenced to incarceration and underline short-term offenders, that we place them under electronic monitoring as an alternative and not only as a parole condition. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. I think just the last comment so that you can conclude now.
Thank you, Chair. I just want to briefly explain how the issue of victim device protection unit functions. What happens if a particular offender has been, for example, restricted from approaching the victim, what would you as a department would go to the place where the victim stays, get the coordinate of that particular case and capture them into the system, but will also issue the victim with a device. That will alert them. For example, if an offender is approaching within a particular area, it will be, and then air control will then be able to contact the offender to say, now you are violating your condition. Failure to do so will immediately then try to dispatch our team to go and investigate the situation. That's really how the victim protection unit functions. And the last comment, Chairperson, would be there was an issue raised with regard to electronic and with load sharing. In cases where, for example, there's a problem of electricity, what happens? There's a solar panel that's given to an offender. That's dependent on the time for that particular offender to charge the device.
Thank you very much. I think for now maybe we just need to round off the discussion and the conclusion to indicate that with the information that has been presented before us, it's quite evident that we have clearly expressed the need for electronic monitoring system. And we welcome the idea of bringing the gadgets down to 1,000 so to make the exercise to be much more affordable and cost-effective. And also we are saying that we will be looking at this and supporting it with a proviso that the department must have a server that is working in full condition, that is in the position to help you to roll out the system. Otherwise, without the server, it's either going to be too expensive to do it, or it's never going to be possible for you to run the space in an efficient manner. Members, I think we have come to the end of this discussion. Okay, which question was not answered? Okay, indicate which one so that we just add it to this conclusion that I'm giving, that then there will have to be
I think the most important thing, I think one find out how reliable, how can they not be interfered with. That question was not answered. And you didn't explain on the question. I even made an example about car tax and cost, and you didn't say. And for example, also I wanted to find out about there are certain areas you take coordinates all the local towns, etc.
is what you're saying. But if one crops up tomorrow as they normally do, how are you able to, or is it only established government that would make court that you restrict the person for his way? I'm asking that because I think that's one of the conditions of the parole, that you should not go near taverns or things like that. Now, how do you, in areas where every corner there is a tavern, moving up the street, how do you do that? I just want to check on the security of the man and as well on effectiveness in the morning.
And since you are not a Kumplana, if there's a time next door, then the parolee will be violating the conditions. Another thing is that in terms of the information that you still be coming, is the report on the extension of the contract. You've indicated that you submit that because members have actually expressed concern about conditions surrounding the extension of the contract. We therefore want to thank you for the presentation and hope that the system will be efficiently rolled out. That brings us to the third session. End of the session of this city. Can we have 5 minutes comfort break and come back to second quarter performance report?
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you for coming back. Can we now proceed to the second quarter performance report? That will be followed by a summary from the CFO of the finance.
Thank you once more, and honorable members. We go through to the presentation solution, and as we have indicated that it's going to be a preliminary report tomorrow and Friday. The department is meeting to look into the source documents and labels that will be brought to the team by Regional Commissioner of CDC so that we finalize this matter and that it not be a preliminary report. I'm going to request the CDC strategic management, the one that I introduced last time, Mr. Joseph Katenga, to take us through the presentation. Chairperson, thank you very much, and the members.
Thank you, Chairperson and members. I do have a slight call, so my voice might break from time to time, but I'll try and I will be taking you through the performance information of the department for the second quarter. The presentation will basically cover an analysis of the overall performance rating for the departments, and then we'll provide detail per program as well, and then lead into a conclusion. In terms of background, we are here to review the performance of the department against the annual performance plan for 2015-16, as has been tabled in terms of the required legislation. In the AGD 415-16, we have 41 performance indicators and 48 targets, of which we'll be analyzing in this presentation. Of the 48 targets, 11 of them are measured on an annual basis and therefore have not been reported on or tracked in this second quarter. So therefore, the performance is basically measured against the 37 targets. Our performance ratings are based on the legend where if the target has been achieved, the indicator is green, and it hasn't been achieved, it's red, and those that are measured on an annual basis, we code them as yellow. So, if we look at the departments as a whole, as I said, only 48 have been attracting the 37 targets. So 24 have been achieved, and 13 haven't been achieved. So the 24 over 37 gives us 65% rate of achievement of the overall targets for the department. If we compare the first quarter to the second quarter, we'll see that there has been an improvement in terms of the number of targets that have been achieved. So we went from 54% in quarter one to 65% in quarter two, and there's also a commensurate reduction in the targets that have not been achieved. So if we look at it per program, we'll look at program one, which is administration. 50% of the targets have been achieved, and 50 haven't. If we look at it in terms of the sub-programs under management, three of the targets achieved there, and five not achieved, and the detail will follow in the subsequent slides. under the sub-program management. We have the percentage of finalized legal cases successfully defended has been achieved. The percentage of correctional facilities inspected and conditional treatment of inmates. Percentages of unnatural tests and reports received, processes finalized, and feedback provided. I'm not too sure if I should go through all the detail, or rather just go to the overall, the high level. Okay. If we go to program two, which is incarceration, of the 11 targets that have been tracked, 7 have been achieved and 4 not achieved. I think although we just proceed in the manner that was taken in the presentation as having been read. For program 3, which is unemployment access. Of the four quarterly targets that have been monitored, 3 were achieved and one not achieved, giving us a 75% rate for program 3. Likewise, we'll go to program 4, which is care, which is /15, where all the 4 quarterly targets there, all the 5, sorry, 4 have been achieved and 1 not, which would put us at a level of 88%. And then for program 5, which is social integration, on /17, 5 target achieved and 2 months, which puts us at a rate of 71% achievement. I think what most importantly is that the information that we're presenting now is still in a preliminary form, so we are still going to have to go into further validation and then produce the final reports. So, as I said, we're only focused on quarter 2 for now, and the validation process will follow. In terms of remedial action, in the detailed reporting that we do on an ongoing basis, remedial actions have been identified, and those are actually tracked as well on a quarter-to-quarter basis. So we do make sure we monitor that. As the National Commissioner indicated, tomorrow and the day after, we are doing a midterm review of our performance to date or to the second quarter, which will enable us to firm up on the issues where there are challenges and how best to address them in order to ensure optimal performance by the end of the financial year. Our quarterly performance information has been submitted to DPME in terms of the timeline, so we have submitted the initial information. And once we have validated and audited the second quarter performance, we will be submitting that as well. Thank you, Chair.
Because we are not spending on compensation of employee of 30 million, which will leave
the required budget allocation of 20.588. Of course, at the time of doing this, the appropriation bill had not been presented to Parliament. As we proceed to a summary of the national state of expenditure, the program, the adjusted budget, we are working on the adjusted budget of 20.588. Our actual expenditure stays over 9.8, but this indicates which programs are lagging behind in terms of expenditure, and mainly because of compensation of employees, basically vacancies. The programs that were behind or ahead administration, if you look at the fourth column of the figures where it says spending trend less actual, that one's by three. Administration was ahead of expenditure in terms of again spending trend by 48 million, incorporation behind by 384 million. Rehabilitation behind by 45 million, where healthcare was ahead by 63 million, that in comparison to its spending plan. Social reintegration as well was behind on its spending. On the next slide, we provide on slide 5, first, this one is just a depiction. On slide 5 is just an analysis or commentary on the expenditure. The first bullet I've already dealt with, however, I want to just provide a high level of this problem why spending is in that regard. Administration, the actual spending was 1.8 billion, this is 48.89% against spending plan of 1.758 billion. We resulting in that in a spending of 48 million, overspending of 48 million. The overspending on goods and services is mainly on the fixed services. Of 75.7 due to high number of vehicles that are going for repair and maintenance. And this is the point I indicated about an aging fleet within the department, as well as, of course, the few costs relating to that item. Additional funds have been prioritized to see through the environment where prioritized vehicles during the adjustment estimate to fund or purchase 985 vehicles. Such vehicles include ambulances, sedans, motorcycles, vans, panel vans throughout the country or the department. On the next slide, we provide an analysis or comment on program and incarceration. There was a spending of 6.1, which is 47.25% against a spending plan of 6.5 billion. And that is the underspending, resulting in underspending of 385 million and 28 million. In this program, Chairperson, the federal government establishment is 28,855, of which 26,759 are funded field positions. 206 posts are filled in addition to the fund, the establishment, mostly on the entry level. However, there is a vacancy of 2,066 posts, which is basically 7.17%. This is in the main the driver of the underspending. On payment for capital assets, it's mainly on the building projects. In some of them, we indicated by the facilities that there is in the main, the shortage of underneath is a driver to the understanding in those projects. Program, the third program is rehabilitation. In this program, the actual spending was 510 million against the spending plan of 556 million, which resulted in underspending of 45 million, and mainly on compensation. The compensation in this program was 9.86%. On goods and services under this program, material and supplies were also injected during the first quarter environment exercise. Offender uniform wear orders have already been placed and will take place only in October and February. So that's part of the contribution towards understanding. On program care, this is is where Chairperson Day is present, and I think it's important we communicate to the community. And they're present within this program because of institutional services. And therefore, we'll see this program tend to spend more and in this instance, financial year is because of two additional management areas that are now outsourced because DPW has been unable to fix our boilers on time. And there we spend 950 million against the spending kind of 886, where the kind of spending was 68 million in that program. Solar reintegration, the program which houses electronic monitoring, the spending was 443 million, again the spending of 451 million, where there was another spending of 8 million. In this program, we move funds within in order to also fund the electronic monitoring shortfalls. The next slide, just in case, in terms of economic classification, I won't go into the detail. The analysis on slide 11, I will just indicate that at the national level, the reported vacancies are costing a year-to-date 76 million underpending through an 8.32% vacancy rate. On goods and services, we spent 2.8 billion against a spending plan of 2.6, resulting in overspending by 192 million in that period, mainly on agency and support services on institutional services. Other reasons also relate to the fleet I mentioned earlier on repairs and maintenance. However, we prioritize amount. The smaller items are interest and rent on the next slide and transfers and subsidies. On payments for capital assets, I've touched on that. This in the main is the project I refer to, which is the bill program of the department. On the next slide, we just indicate the committee that they approved payments for the first contract during 2016, the program. Obviously, our constraints within the goods and services like that has not been growing necessarily. However, this focus on mainly on digital services. We have always been at the point where we have to adjust do a finance to goods and services from compensation. But of course, this is unsustainable, Chairperson, because at the time when we go and fill those vacancies, which we are at this point in time in a big drive to fill those vacancies, this opportunity to fund that which we don't have due to the reduction of this line will become a problem. However, we're just indicating that at a program level, we are not sure to fund different programs practically. That is being shifted within those programs to fund businesses in that place. The slides going from 14 are those that I presented when the chairman requested how did we spend the 149. So I went through the very first slide from 14 up until 18. What I want to actually assure the community is that it is true that we do get concerns in the past, even during our earlier engagement, previous engagement, about our budgeting process. What we have done in order to correct this is that we have set up committees where the consultation between regions, the consultations between program managers, sub-program managers at the national level, where the dialogue about priorities of the department, so that we begin to align our budget with our strategy. And where we don't, our budgets are also on a zero-based approach to avoid a situation where we fund items that are not of priority in a particular year. So in that regard, I think we are in the process of improving, and I think there is interest within the department to take budgeting processes to a better decision and now on the island of finding. Thank you.
Thank you very much for the presentation. I'm going to open up for questions and comments from members, starting with Honorable Horn, to be followed by Honorable Bunga, Honorable Mutapo, Honorable Bunga, in that order, thanks.
Thank you, Chairperson. Firstly, in respect of the second quarter preliminary performance report, it must be noted that in terms of escapes, the annual target is 39, and in the first 5 months, there have already been 32 escapes. So if the department can maybe address us on whether they ascribe this to maybe mass escapes in one or two instances, or what happened there, because ultimately it seemed difficult for them to meet that target over the 12-month period. And then secondly, again, Chair, we've had a discussion in the first session, but it would once again seem that despite all of the presentations received by us and the turnaround strategies, a lot of the targets that has not been met has to do with IT and IT-related targets. So I think we once again must express our concern in that regard. Then in respect of the financial performance, Chair, in respect of the compensation of employees, the figure, to my mind, really doesn't add up completely. There's a 0.02% underspending, albeit that it's 336 million, but then the vacant funded positions are more than 8% of those in the staff establishment. And even if all of them are on an entry level, it would seem that if all of them were funded, we would have been faced with a fairly serious overspending. And the difficulty with that is that we all know what happens when you don't fill vacant posts, then sooner rather than later, National Treasury will tell you that your funded positions are cut because you might do without filling those positions. So on the one hand, it's a concern in terms of service delivery that there's an 8% vacancy rate, but on the other hand, the question must be asked, if those positions would have been filled out, would you have balanced the books in terms of expenditure? And then that's also a recurring theme in our meetings with correctional services, the issue of DPW. Now it's spoilers that they didn't fix in time, resulting in a huge expense over and above the budget on the part of correctional services. And while I do not have the answers, I think we must again say that this relationship is not a healthy relationship, and maybe we again must ask DPW to, apart from the capital building program, which we have had a joint meeting between DPW and correctional services, to again, in terms of also other service-related issues, come and meet with us, because it's really unacceptable that the department budget are put at risk because DPW is failing. Thank you.
Thanks, Honorable Mundana. Honorable Hong, Honorable Mundana now.
I've got very, very few questions. There are not more than 10. Now that the Mugwena is around, I assume that the goals that I talked about earlier have failed in various areas. I assume. I think SADA is one of them. The other thing, I am still not quite certain that the commissioner about the budget, everything the budget on incarceration and care, social incarceration, is quite big. It's very big. I assume that with the tax, it's likely to be to reduce that. It's quite big. The other request I was going to have is, what is the position of your finance it done by CEC who just decide when is this negotiation between various managers take place? Is it before the budget or after the budget, like when there is environment and the environment, how does it it work? So that's basically the questions. I think you're right on there. A couple of questions. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Mutambo.
Thanks, Dr. Mbwena, for your presentation. Thank you so much.
I think it's my fault. I said that you shouldn't introduce myself. I can see members are a little bit cautious about me. Can you reintroduce the demise?
Thank you, Chairperson. My name is Zachariah Mojisi, and I'm the National Commissioner. With me is the CFO, Mr. Nick Ligege, and behind us is Mr. James Smalberger, who is responsible for incarceration and corrections. And next to him is Ms. Ntatise Musupie, who is responsible for Chito. On the other side is the CDC Traffic Management, Mr. Joseph Katenga. Next to him is Ms. Pumla Matera, who is responsible for community correction. And behind them is Mr. Teboho Mokoena, who is responsible for human resource. And our GC Legal Services, Mr. Mtosi Zulu. And on that other side, next to Matera is Mr. Roni Ntuli, who is the director in community corrections, responsible for parole. And then at the back of the session, we have my secretary, Ms. Jolie Mewa. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Commissioner. I think you're fine now. I'm going to meet up.
Thank you. CFO, it has been a great concern to this committee in respect of our constitutional vacancies, especially in relation to critical skills. This issue has been recurring for some time. I don't know, National Commissioner, if you don't have any plan to ensure that these vacancies are filled up, filled in, at least by the end of this financial year. Because I said, as it may impact very, very negatively on the performance of our DCS. Again, Chairman, issue of overspending on Program 1 of administration as a result of, amongst others, aging fleet services. In terms of cost measures containment, this thing vis-a-vis the, maybe if we can re-look into this issue of aging fleet services, vis-a-vis in terms of maintaining, vis-a-vis acquisition of new fleet, because it appears this amount are increasing. If you keep on maintaining a very old fleet, it will not much increase, make a lot of negative impact. So please re-look into this matter. And the third one, which I think will be the last question, is underspending in program of rehabilitation, a very important program. Because as of now, you are at 44.2%, and we are now entering the 7th month, only 5 months are left. Are we not going to see a physical dumping come March 2016. Thank you, Mr. President. Thank you, Honorable Kumbu.
Yeah, thank you very much, Chair. I think as the committee, we should say this, that we are quite happy with the improvement. It wasn't true what the Chairperson said the other times, facilitating the appointment of the commissioner and all other licenses, including the CFO, was very critical. I think we're seeing quite improvement. But what made it disturbing is the issue that the vacancies as well are calling service. And it was stating on underspending on vacancies. From where I'm sitting, we can deal with that underspending, particularly at a high level. We may even reach faster the objectives that we seek to deal with as the department. But it was also the comment by the AG that stabilizing by appointing the committee as a CFO. The AG was also quite clear that the next financial year, what is his projection of findings. But what is important to the commissioner and the team is that we may need to elevate some policy related issues. Remember last time we raised the issues that related to the budgeting and the strategy, but also raised the issue of the structure itself in terms of the aligning the structure in line with the province themselves, because part of our assessment was that some of the failures that they are informed by the fact that the region is too big to be manageable itself. So we have to set up some teams to look at to strategically formulate what would be the best team that we can have in terms of the structure of the region. The Mpumalanga Northwest, Limpopo, I think is too vast for purposes of management. So we have to look at that for medium term. The issue of the public works, I think last time that we're told there is an MOU, we may have to brief as to what are the challenges on the implementation of this MOU. I see we're getting towards the year end, and you're saying we have to spend about 10 billion. And next month, what is next month? December. Which was taken as a month that does not yield more work because most people go to leave and so on and so on. So do you think you will be able to spend this in the meeting time? But one of the trouble raising his eye so that we can avoid towards the year end to deal with fiscal dumping. So we need to be proactive on that one. Be proactive on that issue and put all the systems in place. I think other than that, I'm fine, but I'm just here with the progress. I think they are doing very well. We must commend them for the good work. Thanks.
Thank you, Honorable Pongo. Honorable Mala.
Thanks, Chairperson. And thanks for the presentations. I also want to agree with Honorable Pongo that the feeling of the most critical post was a move in the right direction, which is exemplified by the improvements that are detected. But at the same time, we'd like this improvement to actually have a bearing on the budgeting process, because whilst Umlana was comparing the issue of incarceration to heaven. If you look at the entire budget, incarceration almost is more than 60% of the entire budget, which is not very acceptable. We'd like to see that improvement, that situation be reversed. But I also wanted to check CFO on the issue of internships and leaderships, whether the department has those programs and what percentage of the budget is being used for that. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Yes, I think the issue of compensation of employees is dire. The money that we don't spend because of the agencies. When we've done well at higher levels, the department needs to do more at the lower level because South Africans don't have jobs. And this is an area where a lot of jobs for South Africans can be created. So we need to see movement in that area, to see you employing, to ensure that you actually participate in dealing with the problem of unemployment in South Africa. When it comes to some of the money that have been shifted, I realize that you shifted some of the money to buying machinery, you mentioned agriculture, but we haven't really received reports about what's going on in that area. We're hoping that in your next report will indicate to us how you machinery. I think 281 million has been allocated to the machinery. But let's see what it actually yields, because that's what's important. Also, what is encouraging is that then you're going to keep inmates busy. Because your life is end, I think one other problem that is, one other thing that is a problem is just to have inmates sitting around the whole day and doing nothing. Of course, we're trying the training program, but the percentages are not good. Maybe some don't want to do academic training, but you've got machinery, you've got agriculture that is going on, and you're then in the position to have various programs that, of course, will be contributing to rehabilitation. But all in all, I think progress seems to be encouraging. These areas is actually indicating that we are being concerned about these to address them and to prioritize them. I would like to just again reiterate what I will draw from our earlier discussion. The SEVA. Because that SEVA is about also information management in general for the Department of Correctional Services. I want to reiterate what Honorable Bungo has said about running the provinces. We are quite interested to really understand exactly how you're running the provinces and how the financial control measures actually get into provinces. Is this something that is possible? Is it working? Is it not working? What are the areas that are difficult? So that we can be in the position to deal with those. Because you can keep on coming here and you've got a qualified report and keep on hoping for next year that it's going to be okay. We are happy and welcome the fact that you have now addressed the whole issue of internal audit. I'm not sure about asset management, because also that's one of the areas that they're looking. But we want to get into the area of looking into how the provinces are run. And of course, like Honorable Bogo has indicated, these provinces, some of them are vast. We have three provinces together in quality province. And I imagine that there could be a lot of challenges. Just in terms of the how South Africa is actually governed in relation to the provinces, then we actually wonder how the machinery of the three provinces themselves work together. So maybe it's not easy to be necessary for you to bring in provincial commissioners so that each one of them can come and give a report as to how they are running the provinces. And especially when it comes to financial control measures, how accountable are they? And do they think that the system is working? And we also get your opinion in the same meeting as to whether this system is working out or it's not working out. If there are any frustrations, what are the frustrations? On that note, may I take the opportunity of thanking everybody for having made themselves available today and the meeting is adjourned. Oh, sorry. Can you say the responses? Commissioner, please summarize the responses.
Thank you, Chair. I thought DJ is going to spare us the response. Thank you very much, Chairperson and honorable members. I must say at the outset that we are currently busy with a restructuring process where it is our intention to go back to provinces We had already made such a submission to Minister. After this meeting, I'm meeting Deputy Minister Makweta to also do this submission to him. And after that, I do think that Minister and Deputy Minister shall then indicate their willingness that we return to provinces and do away with combined regions. Chairperson and members, it really is a problem that we should have these vast regions. In terms of our audit findings, the Auditor General was also very clear that the two combined regions are very problematic. And therefore, we have taken those comments seriously and have a proposal for Minister and Deputy Minister. It is going to be appropriate that we provide the same presentation to the committee, and we shall do so once we have passed the Minister, Deputy Minister's office. With regards to the issues that members have raised, especially with the allocation of our budget to incarceration security as opposed to rehabilitation care, it is indeed our concern as well. And as I indicated earlier, that the department is embarking on a new manner of accounting for our budget, how it is then allocated to the different programs. And a lot of emphasis is going to be put on rehabilitation care and social integration so that we get the department towards rehabilitation and correcting offending behavior. We do have a plan, Chairperson, with regards to the filling of vacancies. We have already done something with regards to SMS members. The team led by CC Mokwena has done interviews, and soon we shall do appointments. But I do think that it would be proper that we give him an opportunity to just, on a very high level, indicate what are these plans that he has and what are the projects that he is currently busy with. That starts in the Western Cape tomorrow, so that the members should also be informed as to what it is that we are trying to do with the vacancy rate that the department is having. It is indeed a serious concern to us because, Chairperson, what happens with Treasure is if we continue with this perennial problem of not filling positions, Treasure is going to take away that capacity. And this team that is with me here, all of us are really intent and committed to bring down the level of vacancies down in the department. I wouldn't like to take a lot of time. Let me give CDC Mukwena the opportunity to respond on a very high level. And what are plans that are in place? What are we going to do in the short to medium term? Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chairperson and honorable members. Firstly, on the SMS level, in the past 4 weeks approximately, we dedicated time to conduct SMS interview for more than 20 positions where we just did interviews and nothing else with panels that were constituted across the organization. We have done shortlisting and have completed all the interviews. What we are currently doing is to send all the identified candidates through for assessments. There might be a slight delay, but we are trying to push the service provider so that they don't go into recess before all these people have all the 22 candidates have been taken through for assessment. Our plan is that on the 1st of January, the latest being 1st of February, that all the 22 positions shall have been filled in the event that all the candidates meet the selection approval. I can also indicate that all the SMS positions have since been advertised and that in the course of the remaining part of November and December, we will reconstitute those panels and basically finish up the shortlisting so that we finished the financial year and with all the SMS positions, which were just over 30 being filled. I can also indicate that in relation to the critical and schedules, we are launching job fairs, and these job fairs will start in Goodwood tomorrow, where we are taking critical and scarce skills. These will run over a 2-day period. They will start on the 19th and 20th of November for Western Cape, Free State 23rd and 24th of November, 26th and 27th, it will be in Eastern Cape. 2nd to the 3rd of December, it will be in Limpopo, Mpumalanga, and those will be taking place in Polokwane. 8th and 9th of December, it will be in KwaZulu-Natal for the KwaZulu-Natal region. And lastly, it will end up in Gauteng on the 10th and 11th. And these actors were flighted in the past 2 weeks in the media and even in the
through the media, such as your national and local newspaper, as well as the radio. And we are hoping through that to short-circuit the whole process of people submitting applications via the post, where we are inviting them to come and physically be processed at a particular management area like Goodwich, that I mentioned. That is insofar as the critical and skills. As far as leadership is concerned, just to inform the members that in line with the commitment that the minister made during his budget speech, we are indeed in the process of, we started off with a 3 intakes of 1,032 each. The first group of learners will be exiting the college where they were busy with their theoretical training for a 3-month period at the end of November, at which point the second group will then go through for 3 months and so on up. But we've also increased that number by another 1,032. So you will actually have 4 intakes of 1,032 each for leadership. What we'll also be doing on the internship is that we are currently engaging the CFO for the approval of more than 1,000 internship positions, which are, that should go out also in the month of November. The intention being that we will try and close that so that, but that will not be for a financial year end, but for 2016 and 2017. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you, Assistant.
Thanks, Jefferson. Just 2 comments from me. The challenges of public works, Jefferson, we are fully aware of. What they've done is together with the DG government, we've met, we've established a task team. But further than that, we have our own steering committee in correctional services that is looking at our build program so that we are able to turn around this long period. Because since we have provided our needs and up to this stage when they start to build, it becomes a problem of maintaining. But also, the other facilities that members of the member, like in the Western Cape, your fundraiser and your Bangkok affair, which has been taking quite a lot of time for completion, those have now been done. We are remaining only with 2 facilities that still need to be completed. It is CNEX and Zanin. And those are receiving our utmost attention. And we want to assure the committee that apart from the challenges that we are having, we as well as the management of DCS, ours is to also get involved and find out what is it that can be done before this matter then get out of hand. With regard to IT Chairperson, we are very challenges of finalizing the processes. As we speak now, the processes of our week are working has been completed, and we are hopeful that by end of January, we shall then be able to have procured the services that we need so that we are then able to move forward. Indeed, it has been a challenge, and Chairperson, we need to indicate to the committee that in that case, there are a number of challenges. And some of those challenges sometimes are very difficult to overcome. But may as it is, we have at least now covered that. Lastly, the question is to thank the committee for the many comments that you have made and the criticism that you have leveled at us. It is indeed our plan, Chairperson, and our commitment to improve on a daily basis. Some things have happened in the past, and we are not going to be sitting here and belabor them. Ours is to correct wrongs that have happened and move on as a department to ensure that we do deliver on our mandate of rehabilitation and getting for vendors. We'd like to thank you once more. Thanks.
Thank you for the responses. I think that covers it all. We would like to once again to thank you for the presentation and coming to this committee, and let us have this point of again in the meeting again. Thank you very much.